This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
As a controversial World Cup gets underway in underwhelming style, how grateful are we that the League One season continues and Ipswich continue to do the business? This is the Blue Monday podcast. Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, discussing Ipswich Town, up or down since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard, and this is the flagship show. We're live every Sunday at 8 p.m. on YouTube and on podcast audio shortly afterwards. So we are live. We want to hear from you in the chat. Joining us this week, fresh from the farm. I was going to say fresh from the farm. It seems a bit weird. Joe Fares, and not from the farm. You can tell us where you've been if you want. David Diamond. Gentlemen, how are you doing? Dave, we'll start with you. Well, any plans Saturday, Sunday you want to tell us about?
Or? I'm good. Any plans Saturday, Sunday? No, just went down to Felixstowe, saw my little granddaughter today. Had a nice bit of lunch. I can recommend. Had a nice bit of lunch at the Ufford Crown, which I know it's
okay.
Felixstowe, but very, very nice.
Favorites.
And sorry, what's that, Joe?
One of Ed Sheeran's favourites, that is.
Yeah, I can see why. Honestly, I can see why. And then, back this evening, I had one eye on the football, but wasn't really watching it, to be fair. Funny enough, I got home for the second half, nothing really to write home about there.
That was minging.
We're
speculating about why that second half might have been so tepid. Joe, you're at Jimmy's Farm, but not mucking in, were you?
No, we had sort of 7 of my school friends, which turned into 13 adults and 16 kids for
outnumbered now.
Sort of a reunion for, well, I'd say a long time. I did see Wes Burns there at the farm. I think he decided he preferred Jimmy's Farm in Suffolk rather than the Qatar World Cup. So he was happy to be there.
They're pretty equal, I'd say equal probably at this point, aren't they? As I said, we are live. We want to hear from you in the chat. Hello to everyone who is with us.
He'll be right at Jimmy's Farm. Yeah. And then, because if someone wants to admire his man bun from the same sex, they won't get in trouble.
I don't know where that's going. Okay, there we go. We're getting political already. That's my fault for sticking it in the intro. Yeah. Evening to Charlie, evening to Lee. Graham got this in before we'd even start. Graham, super chat, £10. Thank you so much. Super generous, Graham. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Evening to Matt. Evening to Romeo. Howdy to Justin. Thank you for the use of your goal celebration photo. We appreciate that. Max in Melbourne. G'day. Good to have you with us. Veronica's here as well. Evening to Ian. Lee, running late. I must be recovered from the excitement of the opening of the World Cup. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Andrew, good evening. Great result this weekend. And even better that Plymouth didn't win. We will talk about that. Eric, was it a pen? We'll debate that too. Michael, Penty Smith. Qatar. There he is.
There we go.
Well, someone is excited for the World Cup. Or maybe not, Mikey. Man. Is your expose video coming soon? No, we hope you're having a good time and are looking after yourself. Ian, possibly our biggest win since Pompey. We will talk about that as well. Alex, FBL Tractor, my 3 favourite podcasters. There you go. Wow, lots of people joining us tonight. Thank you so much. Let's try and get through all of these. Adam, Gary, Flim Flam, Brendan, Chris, Blimey. Lee, Stubbsy. There we go. Charlie D, how hot is it, Mikey? Don't care. It's just pissed it down with rain in Ipswich.
Do not care
about that. Joe and I have both got England shirts behind us. Do you want to talk us through your ones, Joe?
I think these are the last two Ipswich players to represent England at a World Cup. One of them wasn't with Ipswich at the time, but Mr. Kieran Dyer, who went to the 2002 World Cup. No thanks to Tal Ben Haim, who tried to knock him out of the World Cup a few days before it at the end of the season. And then on the other side, the legend, Mr. Terry Butcher, 1990 World Cup, number six, captain at the time, at the start of the World Cup.
Skip.
I think people forget that in 1982 with Mick Mills and 1990 with Terry Butcher, we had two England captains at World Cups.
We did.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, well, I've got, if he's watching or listening, my mate John gave me this shirt as a gift, I think. Maybe he was clearing out to do a house move or something. And it's a little bit of a ITFC story. I think it was used in an EADT photo shoot. It's the 98 England shirt, for those of you who are listening on the podcast, with a number two on it. It's a long sleeve as well. I think it was used for a photo shoot when Kieran Dyer got a call up. But whether he ever wore number two or wore this shirt is up for debate. Certainly Joe was raising concerns, but it's not, I'm not pretending it's match worn, but it's an England shirt. We are doing our best to try and get in a fever, but Dave, are
it reminds
you,
me of the Sol Campbell, I think, wore that shirt when he had that header disallowed against Argentina in the 98 World Cup. He was
wearing it reminds me of watching Tunisia. I've properly Suffolkized that, haven't I?
Yeah.
Tunisia.
Tunisia.
At school in 98. Paul Scholes, I think, possibly.
I remember watching that in the the corridor used to be called in that sort of that glass sports corridor. Yeah, wasn't sports, there? Yeah, about our only TV at school.
Center, in the quadrangle was a place.
The Mergan Sports Corridor.
Mergan. But are you feeling this World Cup, guys? Dave, we'll start with you. Are you excited?
I didn't really get home. I was out this afternoon, didn't come home in time to see the first half. And as you quite rightly said at the top of the show, the second half was tepid and I only sort of like half watched it. From tomorrow, watch the England game tomorrow. But I think it will, this World Cup will have to grow on me to pique my interest. I think it really will because it's just not right. It's still not right. But yeah, as you said, once you get in the tournament, and if England go a fair way, then obviously interest will be there. But I'm sort of fairly meh about it, to be fair.
Gary here talking about the BBC's intro. I mean, it's a really difficult one for people to navigate. They didn't bother with the opening ceremony or anything like that.
But
Infantino's comments, I think, will stick well clear of whatever he was trying to do.
If people want to read books, I've got them back on the bookshelf back here, but I've got Andrew Jennings, Foul, Heidi Blake and Jonathan Calvert, their expose on the awarding of the Qatar World Cup. There's a few books by Andrew Jennings, also his books about the IOC, Lords of the Rings and the New Lords of the Rings are brilliant books to sort of find out about the history of and the corruption of FIFA, the IOC, Adidas, everything sort of built towards it. But there's some great stuff out there to read about it, but... Mm. I say we can see why the World Cup ended up in Qatar, and people talk about corruption and bribes, but it's hard to say it's a bribe when the guy voting is in the Nigerian FA and Qatar build a new port for £100 million in Nigeria. It's not a naked bribe, is it? And like I say, England tried to play the game back in the day. I remember watching England go to Trinidad and Tobago to play the first game at the Jack Warner Stadium and things like that. Like we tried to play the game, but ultimately our government wouldn't sponsor £200-£500 million state projects to win the game. So like I say, we all play them. But like I say, I think everyone involved in FIFA and Qatar was the point that FIFA was brought down effectively. When you look who was running FIFA at the time now, great Netflix documentary on it, FIFA at the moment. And I say it was brought down by this. There was 22 greedy people that took the money from Qatar. And this is where we are now.
And we have to thank the America for steaming in, don't we? They were the ones who
the FBI
started investigating. Yeah, FBI. So Kate Mason on Football Ramble has done a good 3-part podcast on it as well. So we'll try and lift the mood because we're here to talk about Ipswich Town. A lot of people in the chat talking about it here. Here's Mikey back, really glamorous. Washed my pants in the B-day last night. Well,
standards.
Who's got a B-day these days, Mikey? So that's first world problems there, isn't it?
Not supposed to wash your pants in those.
got it the wrong way around.
You can take the lad from Woodbridge, can't you?
I hope Charlie D's joke is reacted to that, even to David. There we go. It's good to have Nat with us. It was part of Ben's live stream earlier. Ben was watching, God bless him, and trying to make it interesting, Ecuador, Qatar. He'll be back for England tomorrow at 1 p.m. by the way, as well. So,
did he do a? Ben did a watch along for that, did he?
He did. He did. Are we doing one tomorrow as well? So, yeah. Anybody buying the current England shirt thought not the home one, the away one's all right. I've got there's a new blue training camouflagey kind of training shirt which I quite like. So
just get to DH Gate if you want the shirts.
How much? Yeah. If you went into like Sports Direct and buy an England shirt, how much is the new England shirt?
£75.
French, crazy, isn't it? What the.
Even it's a mullet, I'm later than a George Santos Tuckett. No, you're right on time. Right on time. David's at it again. David, the most generous person we know. David, thank you for your super chat, David. Kind. Great to have you with us as well. Let's talk about Ipswich Town. Let's talk about more positive things. Very briefly, let's do a stop off in Plymouth, where ITFC women were the victors in another 5-0 win over Plymouth. And that's 2 years in a row, or two seasons in a row, where we've gone to Plymouth and won 5-0. A nice 2,000 attendance as well, decent numbers there.
Wow.
Sarah Prezero Carrera, back from England duty and back in the goals. Another one for Bonnie Horwood. Held on a little bit second half under the cosh, and then a bit of a late collapse by Plymouth, a brace for Natasha Thomas, and then a grey sealed a 5-0 win. It's 5 wins out of 6 now in the league, and second round cup duty next week at the Adel Arena against London Seaward. But things are looking up after a bit of a struggling start. Got bodies back, to borrow a Seb Brownism. Sophie Peskett got more minutes, which is good.
I looked at the table just before coming on. If they win their games in hand, they're right amongst it, aren't they?
They are, yeah. Well, Billericay are on form. They beat Watford today. So it's, yeah, just need Oxford to lose a game and then suddenly everything is up for grabs.
I think if we win our games in hand at Oxford, we're 2 points behind, something like that.
Oxford haven't lost yet. I'm not sure. I don't think Oxford have lost a game yet. We have. Okay. Everyone else has, I think.
All right, maybe.
Did you say 2,000 were there today at Plymouth?
2,000.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
How many stayed down there? Because I know a few of the... obviously, they tried to make it a double header, but it wasn't quite possible. Yeah. So I can't imagine there was more than a couple of 100 Ipswich fans. But so, it's a big attendance for Plymouth down there, isn't it?
Yeah. They don't usually play home park. And I think based on information from some of my fellow committee members from the ITFC Women's Official Sports Club, they gave a lot of tickets away to schools. So I think that might have been a factor.
Still a lot of people to turn up on a Sunday, though, whether they've been given free tickets or not.
Yeah, and Plymouth, they've lost quite a few games at home as well. So, you know, that result isn't necessarily a surprise, maybe the magnitude of it. But an ITFC team can do the business at Plymouth. That's what we need. That sets the direction of travel, hopefully, for the rest of the campaign. More on the Plymouth men's team later on, as we've already alluded to. Any other thoughts on ITFC women? Anyone making the trip next week? FA Cup doubleheader, 1 o'clock AGL, and then dash down to Portman Road for Buxton. Anyone fancy that?
Possibly, maybe. If I'm over Felix. I'm going to try it. In the afternoon, if I'm over that.
My season ticket covers it, so I've got to be at Portman Road by 2:30 for my chicken korma.
Chicken korma.
Of course, lovely stuff. Nice. And a creme brulee for dessert, maybe, who knows?
Or it might be a lasagna. I might have a chicken korma against Portsmouth and a lasagna against Buxton.
Here's Matt with
world,
the details.
First world game. Issues from Joe Fairs.
2 games in and over Oxford will close the gap to 2 points if we win both.
There you go.
I thought you said we'll be 2 points ahead of them. I apologize if I misheard.
No,
all my fault. Let's talk about the men's team and Exeter. Had some weird inquiries or bits of feedback after the pre-match show where people suggested that Seb and I made out that Exeter were like the Barcelona. I think someone said in my tweets last night. The pre-match show, we just try and give you your research so you're prepared. And I think probably, guys, the summary of Saturday's game is just an accomplished performance. You know, we'll talk through bits and pieces of it, but it really wasn't anything where we were deficient, were we? The one chance they had, Walt makes a save, but I think all in all, just confidence, wasn't it? Confidence.
I think very much so. I mean, obviously, perhaps a little bit of a surprise that they went with just two of the front three, perhaps, and left Nombe on the bench. But even when he came on, we'll get to one incident aside. We just kept them so quiet, didn't we? Brown had some nice touches. Stansfield really wasn't in the game whatsoever. No. Barely touched the ball. Like I said, Brown had some nice touches first half, second half, but not in any real dangerous areas as such. Good. I think, solid performance.
Solid. Yeah, Joe, let's have a look at the... Sorry, Doug. Let's have a look at the teams, Joe, and you can give us your thoughts on the changes for Ipswich. Probably the most significant is Burgess coming in for Edmondson. In other bits and pieces, Danasian was an injury doubt. Unfortunately, he continues his run of being an ever-present under McKenna. Humphreys continues alongside Morsey, obviously. No ball for the foreseeable. Harness and Chaplin, perhaps a bit of a doubt over them given performances last week, but they were given the confidence booster to continue. And Hadma, I think that's what Sky were pronouncing it, back on the bench. Talk to us about our team, Joe.
What's that? I looked at the team and I thought, oh, this is one of the first times I've looked at the team from McKenna and thought, this wouldn't have been what I'd have gone with. And obviously, hindsight has proven to me to be exactly
what
right.
Do you know?
Yeah, but I'd have kept Edmondson in the team rather than Burgess, and then Burgess played really well. And like I say, Chaplin and both Chaplin and Harness haven't played particularly well lately. So it's one of those ones. It's like, oh, Kyle Edwards seems to be, every time he comes on, seems to be making a massive difference. And I'd have given him a game, but like I say, Harness is the guy that makes the big contributions, and that's the reason why Kieran McKenna's paid the big bucks for, isn't it?
He's paid the big bucks. Dave, is there something that Seb and I were talking about on Friday was both Chaplin and Harness, and you know, it's we'll talk about it in relation to Harness probably more than Chaplin. If you feel like they get a goal, they get an assist, and suddenly they just go back on a run, having been, you know, off. Joe's right, isn't it? They've been off out of sorts.
Yeah, they have.
Compared to their high standards, it's worth saying that.
So.
Yeah, that's the issue there. But you kind of feel that, and McKenna obviously thought it, you know, get a goal, get an assist, and suddenly you're back at it, right?
You're up and running, yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, whether he's all round, it's typical Sky, wasn't it? Whether his all round play was good enough to get a man of the match is debatable, probably. I think so. But, yeah, I can certainly see where Joe was coming from there. I think they've both not been quite, what's the word, at it in recent games, have they? Not really, just slightly off. I thought Chaplin was better yesterday as well. Again, didn't really threaten perhaps so much in the final third, but I thought his touch was a lot better yesterday.
Yeah, we've got some, he played some contributions early on whilst we're establishing ourselves as kind of the dominant force in the match. Very quickly, as I do on Friday, let's give the respect to Exeter. You've kind of mentioned it, Dave. They're kind of back three and keepers, as you were, from their victory over Peterborough. Same for the wing backs.
Yeah.
And then, as you mentioned, yeah, Harry Kite comes in for Matt Jay, who'd started up front, and they kind of shifted to a two up front. And Dieng, Kite, and Collins, to me, is a kind of a flat midfield three rather than that kind of diamond that we've kind of got there. But yeah, surprised that Nombe didn't feature after scoring last week, but he's brought off the bench. And yeah, Stansfield was a threat that we singled out and didn't really get a sniff. Well, let's jump into the action, Joe. Do you want to talk to us about the early forays? Because Chaplin is involved in them, isn't he, before we score?
Well, like I said, that first chance, when we talk about Chaplin Harness, it's a ball that sort of breaks down when we go forward and ends up with Chaplin on the right-hand side, and he whips an unbelievable ball in, and you look at it and you think, oh, it only needs a touch. Well, it gets a touch, and the keeper saves it. And it's one of those ones where Harness, could he get more of a touch on it and score? Probably. Could he get less of a touch on it and score across the other side? Possibly. But it's just a brilliant ball, and Harness makes a great run, gets a touch, and it's a really good save. And that's after what, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you on that chance. I mean, there's a header for Chaplin early on as well. You seem to be winning all the headers in the penalty area. It's just not high enough to get the purchase on them, isn't he? And then suddenly, Joe, 10 minutes, just after 10 minutes, is that chance? And then a minute later, it's 1-0. Talk us through this goal, because Morsey, a lot of praise for Morsey in the chat already. Someone, I think it was Eric, saying that Morsey was better, kind of sat deeper. But he's got gets out the lob wedge, doesn't he, as it were?
Yeah, well, he has the ball and he rolls it across to Cameron Humphreys in the midfield. Humphreys has a look around, gives it back to Morsey. Morsey's got so much space, but he just picks this perfect ball out. And Jack Sparks, the left wing back, he's just not in line with the rest of his defenders. And it goes to Harness. And Harness, well, like I say, it's not an easy... He makes it look really easy, but he could take a touch. He could try and bring that down. He could try and do something with it. But he just heads it back across the goal. And Ladapo reacts really quickly, gets in front of his marker. And he makes... Well, the finish is easy, but it's easy because of his movement in the build-up to the finish. And it's, well, like I say, just a really good finish and a really good goal.
Dave, are you going to dig out like Sky did the ball watching by Exeter?
It's a simple goal, but it's such a good goal, isn't it? You know, from, I think before that, when Morsy receives the ball, I think it's like Danesian wins a header and heads it inside. Morsy plays a really quick give and go, sort of not give and go, passes it forward to Chaplin, creates a little bit more space, then Y gets it back. And it's almost like a quarterback pass, isn't it? It's just that perfect. And as Joe said, just brilliant, brilliant awareness from Harness. Just I don't think he's looking from Ladapo, but he just heads it back into a brilliant space, doesn't he? And as you say, great movement from Ladapo. I really thought that was a really great goal, but yeah. So simple. But sometimes those simple goals are just so good, aren't they?
I had Barry Davis ringing my ears. Lovely goal, lovely goal.
Lovely goal.
I thought it was a great move and nothing less than we deserved at that point.
Sharp, really sharp.
I think it's just one of those ones from Harness where it looks really easy, but it looks easy because you see what he does after he does it. Where it, when you see that first ball come across, that's not what you expect to happen, is it, from that ball there?
No.
And Ladapo's now got 3-3, well, 4-4 if you include Bracknell as well. And goals away from home.
Last three away games.
Yeah.
And seven league goals.
He's got like nine goals this season now, is it? And
in all comps, yeah. So, yeah, his stock is rising.
When you look at like, sort of to go into the stats, like XG per 90, goals per 90, he's right up there in the league. Yeah. I think people sometimes don't realise that he's only played probably about half the available minutes this season. And while he's got nine goals this season, if he'd have played every minute and continued that form on, he'd have 15 already.
Yeah. SBR track, so I'd watch that pass from Morsy on a loop rather than the second.
I think you're right. It was such a well-weighted pass, wasn't it?
This point from Max, Dave, if I can find it, about the rest of the second half. Obviously, we kind of took our foot off the gas. A lot of probably us watching, and I think certainly the chat went up in the Telegram group, was get the second, because we know what our issues have been about holding on to leads and so on. But Max's point here, watching the game, thought we were flat, but in reflection, I think we managed the tempo beautifully.
We had that one chance where I think we said on the Telegram group, you know, we're chipping in during the game, that Walton was hesitant. In the end, he made a good save. It fell to Alan Partridge, didn't it? Fell to Partridge on his left foot about 6 yards out. And I think certainly Walton should have perhaps come early for that and probably claimed it. But look, he stood big, made the save, and probably that was their big chance, wasn't it?
I asked the question on Friday because it's my job, but clearly very quality keeper at this level. Confidence is a thing, isn't it, for goalkeepers, you know?
And then if you remember, the corner swung in and he just takes it out.
Yeah, he was back to his best. And, and that clean sheet will give him a load of confidence as well.
There's only three teams that have scored more home goals than Exeter this season, and that's Peterborough, Sheffield Wednesday and Charlton. The only three teams that have scored more goals than Exeter at home this season. It's one of those ones where you just totally stifle them. You don't give them a sniff, and you see people say, "Oh well, they weren't very good." And it's like they're not very good because we made them look not very good. I definitely think it was one of those because we just went there and we totally snuffed them out. We didn't give them a chance. They had absolutely nothing against us today.
I thought Morsy, and we sat every week in week out, I thought Morsy was just magnificent yesterday. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant yesterday.
And it's a different thing, guys, when I guess Exeter didn't sit deep like Cheltenham Lincoln did against us, which I guess helps us a little bit. But you mentioned the players that didn't get a sniff. Giovanni Brand doesn't get a sniff, does he? Jay Stansfield, October EFL Player of the Month. EFL player, not League One player.
Just EFL. Anonymous.
Hardly got a touch, did he? No. And you know,
the only touch he had was of other people's shirts while he was pulling them back. They tried to break away.
Give the referee.
I like the fullback who admittedly he's let himself go since he's gone out with Tony Adams, but he was he was decent, wasn't he? He was though. I thought he was pretty good at times.
Who had 23 minutes for the Caprice gag? There it is. Just in case you ever.
By the way, I met Tony Adams Thursday evening, but we'll get onto that later.
Dave was at Strictly with him.
No, I met him at a pre-World Cup dinner up in London on Thursday. Yeah,
what a guy!
I wonder who Dave was out with. Was it his friend Pat? Maybe.
Do you know what, Joe? Yes.
I was trying to think. Is there another option? No. Unlikely. Good stuff. There you go. Did he have anything exciting to say about the World Cup?
Tony not Holmes? Really. No. Most. It was a sort of World Cup dinner, but it was a bit of a sort of sporting chance dinner as well. So obviously he's behind that. So there was a lot of talk about that. He came across really, really well. Spoke for about 15 minutes, and
Dave's in rehab next week for speaking about Ipswich Town too much.
Yeah, no. He said. And he was pretty ambivalent about the World Cup. Yeah, he said about obviously Qatar and the whole issues surrounding the World Cup. I won't go into that, but yeah, he said a little piece on that. But yeah, he thought England quarterfinals. I think. Yeah,
that's the popular view.
I think so.
Let's move it back to Ipswich. Yeah, at least there you go. Come on, England. Let's move it back to Ipswich and into the second half. A few people have now said this, so I'm going to. It's a nice segue for me, Dave. Even into Luke thought Humphreys was superb. Yes, they great passing range as well. And Adam here, not the top 20 pod raving about Cam Humphreys. Max Humphreys is an up and coming Barry Bannon. He's got this effort on 58 minutes, but probably the moment for the second half was that pass through. Talk to us about Humphrey's performance.
Naughty, wasn't it? It was almost a no-look pass as well, wasn't it? Just sort of swept it out, sort of curved it around the fullback for
perfect
Burns.
Flight on the ball as well to keep it in play.
Stop it. Stop
it's just
it.
A ball to Burns, is it?
Yeah.
Was it Burns or Ladapo?
Burns one way, Ladapo. But someone put it on there and they just showed it. Him picking up the ball on the edge of the box, driving forward and playing the ball. It's like, look at how many times Cameron Humphreys actually looks down at the ball and the answer is zero. He just...
Yeah, no, he's got
he
it.
He knows where the ball is. He manipulates it and he moves it about and, well, so he is...
Yeah, he's growing.
He's a player, isn't he?
He's growing into every game, isn't he? Absolutely,
and
every game.
He's really. I mean, it's really sad news about Evans and Ball, but it's a fantastic opportunity.
He'd never get this. He never would have got this game time so early, would he? I don't.
And he's staking a claim as well, isn't he?
Yeah,
talk about the effort on. Talk about. There's a kind of a couple of efforts, isn't there, Dave? Before we don't.
Yeah, there's the one where Ladapo was that from a Humphreys ball? I can't remember where Ladapo was
Davis,
released.
I think.
Ladapo was released, and he sort of gets a ball left side of the box, cuts inside, has his first shot blocked. Again, great. Falls for Davis, just chips it up first time. And again, good movement from the Dapo, sort of retrieved his position. Pretty good head of that. Again, on Sky, Hinchcliffe was saying, oh, you know, he perhaps should got to put those in the corner. You know, he's just reacting to a ball that comes like that. It's a great head. A good save from Blackman, I thought. And then, was it, I think, before or just after, was where the ball breaks to Humphreys. And, just sort of like lofts one from the edge of the box. And another, you'd expect him to save it because it was fairly central. If it had pinged that in the top corner, lordy. But,
I think we're
just about getting on top again at that point.
Yeah. With the standards he sets himself, I think he could have done better with that. It was a good strike. And then
drifted in the far corner.
But Blackman's, 6 foot six? And it's relatively
short. Yeah, expecting him to save it.
But if you'd have whipped that into that sort of nearer corner to him or right across the corner, I think you'd have, you'd have tested him far more. But I say he's really taken that chance that Evans and Ball's absence has given him there, isn't he? And so yeah. I think this is what all Ipswich fans wanted to see from him, because we wanted him to play more because he's a real, real great prospect, really comfortable on the ball, all over the pitch. Great engine on him, goes all game, doesn't he? And put another 90 minutes in there yesterday.
Probably, he's reached the point now where it will almost be a surprise if he's picked for the game on Tuesday against Portsmouth. Almost be a surprise that, you know, he's not sort of held back. But I don't know. Yeah, we might be short on numbers.
We've got a cup game Sunday, haven't we? So there's no league game on Saturday, is there?
No, it's not. December the 2nd, I think, is that Friday evening, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. So there's kind of this, I'm reading far too much into this, but I'm going to say it anyway, this kind of sliding doors moment where Chaplin goes off, is substituted, having not really built on his early impact, and then Harness, Dave, is going to get on the end of another set piece ball from Lee.
Yeah, again, it's not good. I think it's, again, on TV, they say, you know, they question the marking, and yeah, because, you know, it's not as if Harness is a 6 foot three striker, is it? But it's a good delivery again, from great delivery in swinging corner from Davis. And Harness shows his strength there. I think he holds off, is it Key and maybe even Numbe, that he's just come on a sub not long before, holds his position really well and just glances it in. Sort of glances it in from what, about 6 yards? Yeah, you'd be disappointed if you conceded that one, but yeah, great to see us scoring another goal from a set piece. And I think, is that Davis, is that his sixth assist of the season, or he's up there with assist wise, isn't he? Yeah, and you say goals come at a good time, but yeah, I wouldn't say we're starting a little Exeter weren't creating anything, but the game was sort of going not really anywhere at that stage. We'd had the Ladapo chance, we'd had the Humphrey shot. So yeah, it was a good time to get the second and sort of, you know, knock the stuffing out of them a bit, albeit a minute later.
Yeah, well, very briefly, let's pull on the set pieces because we know the joint top scorers in the league on set piece goals. And we were bemoaning it last week on the flagship against Cheltenham about, you know, where's the plan B? I mean, the first goal against Cheltenham is a set piece, isn't it? And you know, we could have scored many more there, but it is an important secondary weapon for us, isn't it? A plan B, having been, Joe, something that we'd scored loads of goals out in 14-15 and then they dried up for years, haven't they? And now suddenly they're back. So a lot of credit for Davis for the quality of the assist,
but delivery,
coaching team as well, movement, and yeah, it takes a lot to score from these goals because XG wise they're quite low, aren't they?
Yeah, I just remember at the end of last season, someone sort of saying to McKenna, like, we haven't scored from set piece, and he basically said, you're not going to get promoted out of this division unless you sort that out. And he sorted it out, isn't it? And it seems like each game there's a sort of different main target to it. It was Wolfenden last week, wasn't he, where he got first contact on a couple of headers and obviously scored the goal. This season they're more dropped into the box. Edmondson's a real threat from them. We haven't seen Cameron Burgess be targeted from those set pieces, but the way he won headers in our own box and in our own defensive areas, you think, well, he's got to be good in the air at these front set pieces. But I'd say, yeah. You need these are easy ways to score goals. Not simple ways, but they're easy ways to score goals. And if you can't go for a season like we did last year where you've scored one goal from set pieces, you've got those 10, 15 goals you can get from those are the difference between going up and not going up.
Yeah.
You mentioned very briefly, I'll come back to you, Dave, on the penalty shout. You mentioned Burgess, Joe. I've kind of written here, Burgess kind of was Parkinson. It was a magnet, wasn't he, for the ball, which kind of Cheltenham's defenders were last week when the ball came anywhere near our penalty box. How important was he for you on Saturday? And you kind of mentioned you were surprised maybe of his inclusion over Edmondson. Was it justified in your eyes, given how we finished the game with him kind of winning everything in the air?
Well, you never know how Edmondson would have played in the same game.
True.
But Cameron Burgess played very, very well, and he won every header. He was good on the ball. He moved things forward, and you can't criticize his performance in any way at all. And so, as the manager, you think I've made a tough decision. I've brought Cameron Burgess into the game, and he's done everything I could have asked of him and more. And an excellent performance from Burgess. And it's funny, like you read the I remember reading stuff from McKenna last year and a few bits this year, I think in the post-game stuff, and it always talks about how hard he works, how well he participates in meetings, how switched on he is, how he really, really wants to get better at this game of football. It's not a case of he's just going to turn up and do his job. He's going to turn up. He knows every pattern of play. He's going to do everything he can to sit in those meetings and make a massive difference, make a really good input. And this is what it gets you. It gets you game time. It gets you performances. And it's going to get you in the team if he keeps doing that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your wallet online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kieran McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Dave, anything to add on Burgess? Obviously, it's nice to have a left-footed centre-back.
I like the balance.
In the left centre, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I don't think he's quite an accomplished, perhaps, overall footballer as George Edmondson is. I think, and he probably even admit that. But I just like that left-foot balance that he gives you, really. And even some of his distribution yesterday, his long ball distribution, I thought was pretty good as well. When he needed to play it, he played it, and pretty much, I think, found a runner, or, you know, knocked it into space. So, yeah, he just had a good solid game. And it's just great to have him fit again. And, you know, with the adversity he'd been through, I think, whether that was exaggeration, I haven't quite heard that, but I think someone said it on the comms yesterday, he's got something like 50 screws holding his face together or something like that. I mean, it's just...
You see the photos of his x-rays that he it was scary. It looked like something from a horror movie.
No, it really did. So, you know, fair play to him for, you know, coming back. And I think I saw a quote from him today saying, you know, after 5 minutes, you know, he doesn't realise he's even wearing the mask now. You know, you'd imagine for such facial damage, that almost might be permanent now for the rest of his career, for goodness sake. Right. So, yeah, great to see him back. And, yeah, it can only be a positive again for us.
Yeah, and, yeah, He's won every game he started in as well this
Saw
season.
That.
Admittedly, not against the bigger teams in the division, but nevertheless, it's a good record to have, isn't it? Let's talk about this, the one moment where we've talked about these fine margins and do things even out over the course of the season. This is one that's gone in our favour, Dave, isn't it?
And you see it with Ipswich. We've done it in the past, haven't we, in games, you know, where we've... Charlton, yeah, just not dwell on Charlton and other games, but we've gone two up, got the goal, and just haven't, you know, you go out that used to play local football under a manager, said, you know, as soon as you score a goal, get the goal back, try and keep possession for a minute or two, you know, just get through the next two or three phases of the game. And we really didn't. There was a bit of a sloppy play, I think, and there's a pretty good interchange, I think, on the edge of our box, and I think Brown might get a touch. And there's a whole sort of cluster of players that sort of Nombe, sort of gets between, and Davis is trying to make the challenge from the wrong side. It's his left foot trying to win the ball almost from the wrong side. So it's not as if he's, you know, getting round his man and hooking the ball. He's trying to make that, and that's always dangerous. Look, you see it back. There seems to be some contact there. And I think it's very much in those, the old cliche, you have seen them given. And I think had the shoe been on the other foot, we'd have been pretty pissed off if we didn't get that one. So,
Look,
and these decisions... We said all season, they tend to even themselves out. These decisions hopefully even themselves out. You know, you go back to not a penalty, but the harness disallow goal at home to Barnsley. I mean, travesty, absolute travesty. So I think you like to think that these decisions even themselves out over the season. I think we kind of got away with one there.
Yeah. Joe, you look like you were going to come in there with a never a penalty. Rich, no, over a penalty, but no, well, you agree with that?
I didn't think there was much in it. I didn't think Nombe was sort of far enough ahead, but I think Davis gave the ref a decision to make, which he didn't need to. But it's interesting, in the Skybox after the game, Danny Cowley, Sam Parkin, was it David Prutton that was leading? They all thought no penalty, not enough in it. And that was my initial reaction to it. I could see if I was behind that goal and it was an Ipswich player going for, I'd be screaming for it. And God, but. Like I said, there wasn't enough in it for me.
Yeah, a lot of maybe mixed reviews. I mean, this is an Ipswich Town podcast overall. Matt says would have been a soft one, but other way around, I'd be shouting for it, etc.
I think it's one of those ones. If it was VAR, if it was given, it wouldn't be overturned. And if it wasn't given, it wouldn't be overturned. So it was one of those in cricket, what would be an umpire's call?
Yeah, well, and apart from that, guys, that was the only moment of real jeopardy for us. We see the game up pretty comfortably, don't we? Good to see Hadma come on. And,
yeah, it was.
Yeah. And, you know, just a tidy performance after that.
Another little cameo from Edwards. Great. Oh, you'd have loved him to thrash that one across the keeper in the far corner, wouldn't you? But a great step over.
That
drops
first
his shoulder.
That first touch.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
We just sort of let it roll across him and then pass the man. And then he's got the man to beat
after
that.
Then sort of, does a step over, leave Sia. And then good strike. You know, a lot of keepers, you know, good save from Blackman, actually. Good strike pretty much towards the near post, but Blackman gets down quite well. He's gonna score a goal like that soon, isn't he?
Good day to Nathan. Another super chat. Morning from Melbourne. Great result. Getting tight at the top. Yeah, we'll talk about all that in a bit. And got Nat from Sheffield Wednesday. Not from Sheffield Wednesday themselves, but Sheffield Wednesday fan with us as well. So interesting to get his views or her views as well, their views. So, yeah, Nathan, thank you. We appreciate you for that. Very generous. Thank you very much. In the chat, if you are watching right now, firstly, give us a thumbs up. We want to know you're there and helps nudge us up the algorithms. But I want a player of the match nomination from each of you, and I want your one-word match review as well, or an emoji if you prefer. But I'm going to first go to Joe and say, who is your player? Not to lead the chat, but who was your player of the match, and what was your kind of summing us up of events on Saturday, Joe?
I think there were some good players, and I know Marcus Harness was somebody who did some good, did some bad, but ultimately you get an assist, you score a goal. In a 2-0 win, you're man of the match for me. And I thought what the bits that he did wrong were when he's trying to make things happen, but that's man of the match for me. And I'd say it was probably about as an accomplished away performance as you can get. And we weren't against a poor side. We're against a side that were in the top 10 of the league, that have scored goals for fun at home, that have got players that can hurt you from all over the pitch. And I think we just went there and just totally dominated. We bullied them. We were bigger than them. We were stronger than them. We were more physical than them. We were faster than them. We were just better than them from front to back. And I've had a look on sort of their forums, on their Twitter feeds, and their fans are just like, that's the best team in the league, championship players. They're going to win the league this year. And you play like that in every away game, we're going to win the league. And we're the best team in the league, for me. Doesn't mean we're going to win it, but we are the best team in the league, and we just got to make sure that we get enough points to go up.
Yeah, it's a good point you make about Exeter's fan base. Were really very magnanimous, really? Weren't they? I tweeted out about us and didn't even put the Exeter hashtag, and an Exeter fan felt compelled to tell me how good they thought we were and praise the away support as well. Sold out away end, sold out home end as well, I believe, on Saturday, which is impressive given the midday kickoff. But Exeter fans going out of their way to say that they're the best team we've seen. Bodes well as well, doesn't it? Dave, let me give you some ideas on your man of the match and your thoughts on a one word, or no, we'll get later, more than one word, few words, summings up at the game. We've got Morsey from Glen here, always available, so strong.
Yeah,
with the ball.
He was superb.
Burgess from Lee. Yeah. Burgess from Ramo in the room. Burgess, lots of Burgess. Burgess, Morsey. Yeah.
I don't think you really disagree with Joe, but all those good shouts for
definite
good
pen,
shouts.
By the way, says Graham. Just to lob that in there. Yeah. Morsey, I've got it bad, says Romeo. Morsey, Burgess. But no shouts for Harness, surprisingly, though.
No, Joe's probably right. A goal and assist, and you know, you have the biggest effect on the game, don't you? You do. But yeah, Morsey, as I said earlier, was just different. I think his pass completion was it 93% or something ridiculous yesterday. And special mentions of, yeah, Burgess, very good at the back. Obviously, Ladapo, you know, great to see him get another goal. Humphreys, good as ever. It was a solid, I think, and in summary, just a solid all-round professional away performance.
Yep, you and Veronica are agreeing on professional. Chris has gone for accomplished, which I think was my words.
And all that.
Julian, lovely passing. What have we got? Perfect away performance, says Rob. Bono's used an emoji that hasn't worked for us, so a square with nothing inside it is a pretty of a negative position there, Bono. I'm sure that's not what you mean. Controlled, clinical, controlled. He's come back with there as well. And yeah, I think we're generally in agreement there, aren't we? Really tidy performance. And as Joe's mentioned a few times, and despite what people have said about the pre-match, Exeter, good home team. So free scoring as well, kept a clean sheet, all in all, good stuff. Should we move on to the rest of League One? And we want to hear from you on your thoughts on Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth. Is this becoming a three-horse race? Who are you backing at this point? Who is the form team out of the three of us as well? Is there anyone out on the outside that's going to get in there for you? Let us know about that. Evening to Cali, Sammy or Burgess for him. Businesslike, says Lee. Professionalism is and that's what I want. Michael, we'll finish off the player of the match with this one. Man of the match, McKenna. Every time. Good. I don't know about you guys. There was a bit in the first half where the camera panned. There was a break in play, and they put the camera on McKenna giving instructions to Chaplin and Harness and the other players. Just looked so calm, so like affirmative with his coaching, pointing stuff out.
He didn't have his hand behind his mouth either when he was talking.
He doesn't need to. What are you going to do about it? Can't do anything about it. Peter,
so one of my mates I used to work with was deaf, and he's a brilliant lip reader. And I was like, I wish I was watching a foot with you so you could tell me what McKenna's saying to all these guys now.
Evening to Peter. I hope you're well. Yeah, amazing to see Humphreys playing and looking accomplished. Accomplished. The word of the day is accomplished, efficient. Mm. There we go. Yeah, so let us know your views on the rest of the league. Guys, I'm going to come to you and let you pick out a game each from the round of games, or we can just focus on Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth. Let me just skip you through the rest of the action. Pompey Derby, a convenient and helpful probably board draw. McGoldrick trying his best. Yep. Nice shot off the bar, but that's four draws in a row from Portsmouth. Barnsley still there or thereabouts, beating MK, who are now 6 points off safety, albeit they've got a game in hand, so not looking good for them. Bristol Rovers defeating Peterborough, that was definitely close.
We're 10 points ahead of Peterborough now.
Yeah, well,
they're
and
rubbish away from home, aren't they?
Ronnie,
they're really not very good.
Edwards
away.
Red card, anyone see the red card for Posh? A bit harsh, maybe. Go on, Joe. Mm.
Well, there was a guy sort of trying to pull him down, like, and when I say trying to pull him down, they were literally like diving, holding two hands onto his shirt as he broke past him, and it sort of went to Edwards, and yeah, Edwards does foul him, but he's sort of going away from goal at that point. It's one of those ones that really shouldn't be a free game ban, because it shouldn't have been a red card, but it's probably going to be difficult to rescind, and if it is, Peterborough lose their best defender when they play us.
Yeah, convenient, isn't it? And yeah, Scott Sinclair for the goal for Bristol Rovers, you can still find
yeah, saw that.
Cambridge's slump continues. They're now down to 20th. Wonder if Bonner's regretting not taking the Rotherham job. Maybe
they've not scored at home since September. I don't think it is.
Is that yes, it? Wow. And now swap places with Accrington, who have been on a bit of a bad run as well. Cheltenham building off their draw at Portman Road by beating Wickham. And they're now unbeaten in four, Cheltenham, which is pretty good. And Bolton, another kind of top six team, come from behind late on to beat Fleetwood. Afellaini in the 95th minute. Lincoln still unbeaten at home.
They've only won two, though, haven't they?
Yeah, this time it's a win. But they're up to ninth. Oxford have a bit of a recent resurgence, but they struggle and can only draw with Forest Green Rovers. And Port Vale beat Charlton. Not a huge amount of excitement there. Anything else that you want to draw our attention to in those games, or should we move on to the ones that matter? The ones that matter. Both guys looking away from me, for those of you listening to the podcast. So, as a host, it's really bad when Dave puts his head down and I heard Joe's microphone click off so he could have a cough. It's like, right, where do I go next? Right, let's move on to Sheffield Wednesday, guys. Do you think... we agree that Sheffield Wednesday have the best squad on paper of the three of us, or is it
second best squad on paper?
Second best. Do you agree with that, Dave?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
it's an old squad, isn't it? It's an interesting tweet by David Stockdale. Someone posted the average age.
He boosted it up, didn't he?
He's dragging him up a little bit. There's still quite a lot of key players over 30, including Bannon, who's 32, but. Not the most slick performance at home to Shrewsbury.
Apparently Shrewsbury had a real go at them last sort of 20, and they were almost, from what I can understand, maybe not last 20, but 10 or whatsoever, just sort of hanging on a bit. I'm not sure there was any clear-cut chances, but I think a lot of balls flying in the box and stuff, and they saw it out. Saw it, our ex-loanee Mark McGuinness scored the winner, his first goal for good head of that, obviously.
Great leap.
Yeah, it was. Really flicked it in the top corner, obviously, from a Bannon corner.
I think Sheffield Wednesday to me just look a really bang average side, but they've got quality in there. Right. And when you look at it, they've got 40 points from 19 games or similar. It's just by having Barry Bannon and some big solid defenders, Hickway, McGuinness.
They've got some experience there as well.
I say, you look at this squad, you've got Michael Smith up front, who's 32, a Hickway 31, Liam Palmer. They've probably got seven of their starters who are over 30. However, we're going for it now.
Next game out, Derby away.
Yeah. Well, it's nicely poised, isn't it? Nicely poised. It is. Should we talk about Plymouth? So, two draws. Let me give you some wider context. I don't know if you saw the goals and the highlights. We can talk about that. two draws in a row, and it's Burton and Lincoln, although we know all about Lincoln, don't we? More injuries. So ex-Blue James Wilson missed the game, minor injury, but was out. They've only got three fit defenders at the moment. Finn Azaz, James Bolton, Connor Grant, Danny Mayer, Dan Scar, all currently unavailable. And heartbreak, isn't it? This 97th minute equaliser. Who wants to talk us through this one?
It's the sort of thing that happens to us. Adrian Mariappa, for goodness sake.
You could still find him as well.
Did you see the bit before the goal where basically I think two players went out for a header and Burton had the ball and the Plymouth flag went down when he wasn't injured. And the ref stopped the game and he let Burton keep the ball when it happened. And basically a few balls went and it was, I think Burton won four headers in a row before it dropped on Mariappa's head. But when you look at the XG, like you do every Plymouth game, Burton are a better team. As I said, they had the penalty, but Burton created the chances. They're the ones that sort of scored the first goal, as Lincoln were the week before. And they can't just rely on all these players. Just Niall Ennis, Ryan Hardy, Morgan Whitaker. You can't just rely on these players just being quality every week, because they're not quality footballers. They wouldn't be at League One at Plymouth.
Go on, Dave. Give us your view.
It was Mariappa's first goal in English football for nine seasons. His last goal was for Palace in the Prem, for God's sake.
Was it really?
Yeah. Apparently so. Yeah, he's been playing.
He's been abroad, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been away and stuff like that. I remember him being really solid and like playing forever for Watford. But that was right. I was following that on Sky Sports on Soccer Saturday, sorry. And you hear a big shout. Merson was following it, and it was panned to Merson after about 95 minutes. He was saying, I think Plymouth have done it again. They've done enough, you know. And similar to what we were saying, they haven't been brilliant, but they've just done enough in this game. And then he went wild off camera. So you think, it can't be a Plymouth.
You don't go wild for a 3-1, do you?
No, you don't. It can't be a Plymouth goal. So, yeah, sweet. That was, slightly unexpected, but that capped the day off rather nicely. And I think Chef Wed might have still been playing at the time. And I think, as Julian said on the chat there, that they were piling it on Shrewsbury, and you think, come on, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, that was sweet for us, I think.
I think when you look at it, like Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday are spending a lot more than Plymouth. We've got a much better squad than them. And for them to be where they are is unbelievable, really. They're on track for like a 105-point season. And we just have to keep doing what we're doing, and we will get promoted. Like if Plymouth, like I say, there's a comment there, Plymouth starting to wobble. Plymouth's wobble will still see them end up this season with like 90 points. That's not a wobble. That's more to get promoted in any season ever. And they're a quality side, but Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday should not be at this level with the crowds we've got, but with the money we're spending. Both of us, we are spending stupid money in this league, and we should get out of it. If you get things right and you spend the money, you will get out of this league.
I think you're right, John. I think you just got to look at the depth of both squads, really. I mean, and then you look at the depth of the Plymouth squad, and us and Sheffield Wednesday, I think, are that little bit above, aren't we?
They're fighting with one hand behind their back, aren't they?
Here's the league table, guys. Let's put that on the screen and have a look at that. And, you know, there is this. This is definitely the wrong league table, isn't it? Let me get a better one. Every time I bloody do that, I screenshot the wrong thing. Who's at fault? Is it me? I don't think
it is.
The man.
It's not my fault. But, yeah, Plymouth, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday, 40, 41, 43 points, 9 points clear of fourth place. Is it looking like that three-horse race, Dave, that we've been talking about for quite a while, isn't it?
I think so. You just got to keep winning these. You just got to keep putting these teams away, winning those games. As those guys were saying on the Telegram group yesterday, two pretty big home games coming up in January and February.
Yeah, wow.
I know it sounds easy to say, but I hope that whoever of those three doesn't get promoted, and like I say, if it's
gets up in the playoffs,
because... Yeah. There are three teams that cut above the rest in this league.
Yeah.
You look at that. Plymouth first, lost two games. Ipswich second, lost two games. Sheffield Wednesday third, lost three games. Peterborough fourth, lost eight games. So the top three between them have lost less games than the team in fourth. There's three teams in this league that are an absolute cut above the rest, and you just hope that those three are the ones that get rewarded with promotion. But it doesn't always work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Sadly not, no. We want to get your... We'll go through the comments shortly. People have been given their views on the state of League One. We are going to go and talk about Portsmouth midweek, and we want to know about you the kind of lineup that you'd expect for that. Are we going to go full strength, or are we going to rotate? And if so, who are you expecting to come in and see? I think we've already seen the chat that and remembered that Carl Edwards has got sending off, so he'll be banned. But in terms of other bits and pieces,
had me
so limited options there anyway. But let's talk about bits and pieces for next week before we come back to your comments on the league, and then think about Portsmouth. Special, possibly midweek show, Dave Diamond. Do you want to tell
I think so indeed. As we all know, we've got next weekend. Well, crikey, this time it'll just be over, won't it? This time next weekend, we've got Buxton in the FA Cup semi. If I wish it was second round, and
love the water.
It might not escape too many people's notes. I think it was even mentioned on the comms yesterday on Sky that the Buxton assistant manager is my old mate Tommy, a good friend of the pod, Tommy Miller, and I think fingers crossed. We were trying to get hold of him for Tuesday, but they were supposed to have a game. I think that's been postponed, so he said it'll be training for them instead. So all being well, fingers crossed, I think we should be speaking to him midweek, perhaps on Wednesday, to get his views on the game. He's already said with some great excitement, he tweeted after the draw that he was looking forward to visiting his penalty spots at Portman Road again, which was great. I mean, yeah, he has been back. I think he was back for I think he was co-coms for the Derby game or one of the games, I know.
Yeah, it was so Derby, yeah, I think, great, yeah. Because he was an arcade tavern for a few beers after.
Go. So great affection, great affection for the town and the team. So, yeah, he was absolutely, to coin a phrase, over the moon with that draw. So, yeah, fingers crossed we should be speaking to him midweek.
So I think we're going to try and record that Wednesday, assuming it all goes well.
Yeah.
And what I think we'll do is, because England play Friday night, and we know a lot of people are going to watch that, so we'll avoid that clash. I think what Seb and I will do is we'll try and find 10, 15 minutes of chat on Buxton and give our view, but then we'll get the main man's view with Dave, and maybe we'll do a live Q&A at some point as well. And we'll figure out what we do about the flagship show and who can do that, because that might be a bit of a squeeze to get that one in. So maybe Ben can host that one if there's no World Cup games on Sunday night. And I have no idea what's going on. But we will tweet about that as always. If you are watching this live, you've got about 3 hours left to get 20% off in our merch store, BlueMondayITFC.co.uk. And if you are bored of whether Twitter is going to be there when you log on of a morning and just want a guaranteed respectful quality Ipswich Town chat, head over to our Telegram group. 2 weeks on us and then a subscription after that. But generally it's like WhatsApp and Twitter combined, just with higher clientele, I think, is Seb's words of opinions, and a lot more respect we find. So come and join us on Telegram. Let's go back to the chat and just see what we've got in terms of finishing off chat on League One. Lee still reckons that Peterborough might have a purple patch. Eight defeats.
It's going to take more than a purple patch, though.
Yeah, it's a bit of a eight defeats to turn around there against the others. Stephen, maybe wishful thinking, but Plymouth may drop like last season, have a small squad. Yeah, we're crossing. He's going for a Town Wednesday top two. Horse Holler, a special mention back for Walton, not man of match, but made a good save, solid as something with crosses. Don't remember him making an important save any time last month before yesterday.
I don't remember him making a save in the last month before yesterday. and that's not criticism, because I think he's been a brilliant goalkeeper.
We love
him. He's had a really tough month and made that really good save from Hartridge's sort of knocking it back in from the corner. Yeah. Dominated everything in his box after that, and we want him to be doing well, because he is a top class keeper, isn't he?
He did. Yeah. He is. If you're attracted, if a team makes it a top four, another shout for Peterborough. We're not.
I think they've just got the firepower, haven't they? If they clear, they've got the firepower.
Sorry, Joe. Keeping you up, Joe. You need to get some caffeine in.
He spent too much time on the farm.
He's been running around after his boys too much.
I just don't see Peterborough. And to catch the rest, they're going to need to put like 8 wins in a row together. That's the sort of form they need to get. And I just don't see it. They're so far behind now. Bolton and Barnsley are closer, aren't they?
Dan, I spotted this as well. Danassian doing some recruitment with Giovanni. They're very pally, didn't they?
That is his best mate, isn't it?
Yeah, he could do a job.
He could do a job.
I don't know. Remember they played that previously, because I know they've been sort of holidays together previously. And when they were walking out to the pitch, they walked out together. Was Giovanni Brown at Aston Villa when Danassian was there as a kid? I don't know. But they are like...
Yeah, they're close.
Bosom buddies.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. I've not heard that phrase in a while. Talking of parts of the body, Molly, did you hear about the red car in Warrington? Yeah, complete piss take. Really? Yeah, look that one up if you haven't already. That harsh, really harsh sending off for the keeper in that situation, wasn't it? Anyway, moving on. We never seem to be posh. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I've seen this beat at home.
Yeah, I think I have.
Peterborough,
FPL tracks to Peterborough guys' red seem more for the other guys' rugby tackle before. I'm not sure about that. What else have we got? Max, Wednesday, only one injury or falling away if Bannon goes down.
I'm not going there again. But yeah, all to say is that that he would be a massive miss if he went down injured. I'll leave it at that, I think.
I'd say he would be a miss, but they do have some sort of serious, like Dele Bashiru and people like that in the midfield. Then, like I say, they're starting Tariq Backinson and Mark McGuinness, aren't they, in their team, which are playing
long to Smith
that we've seen him. They have just got solid players for this league, haven't they? But I don't think they've got a coach that is as good as what we've got. Any stretch.
FPL Tractor, I think Chevrolet have the best individuals, but I'm not convinced about their coaching / tactics. I think that's probably a reasonable comment, dare I say it. Rob Plymouth, match stats, 1-0 suggested Burn were bossing their match. Next minute is 2-1. How do they do it? Don't think they'll maintain it the new year. He thinks it's Town on Wednesday. Weekend results proved again. No result is given in this league. It's annoying how inconsistent League One, isn't it? one for bet on either, I would suggest. What else have we got? We'd be clear if we hadn't dropped points at Cheltenham.
Yes.
We'd start doing that, can't we? Wednesday v Derby must be the highest average age match in EFL history. Bannon more important to them than Morsey for us, says A as well. Yeah, so a lot of...
Probably agree with that.
Can anyone remember why Plymouth, fell away last season? Small squad or just bad luck?
I don't think they fell away so much. They changed manager, but they still got 78 points.
Yeah, they're up.
I think they're right up then. They lost, but they played MK a couple of games before the end of the season, and it was Plymouth have got to win centre playoffs, and MK have got to win centre in the top two race, and they lost like 5 or 6.
Yeah, they got done, didn't they? Yeah.
Scott Twine scored 4.
Yes,
I remember that one on the last day. And Paul, evening to Paul from representing our Southwest Supporters Club contingent. Huge respect from Exeter fans to our lot who slogged it down. They loved our thoughts on Sky. 100+ members from the Southwest Supporters by John Bainger and the guys there.
Solid
doing
stuff.
a cracking job. What else have we got? Some thoughts on Portsmouth coming in. Keogh, Edmondson and KBY will get game time. Do you agree with that, Dave? Anyone else you're looking out for?
Yeah, I would think so. I would certainly think so. You probably Ladke in goal.
Ladke in goal, yeah.
Game in goal. Yeah, I'd have thought.
Greg Lee, is he going to be back for
Was he 19th man? Wasn't he yesterday, Joe?
He travelled down there and was warming up on the pitch before the game, so...
So, yeah, maybe he might get some goal. I mean, that would be fantastic to get him back. Any word on Aluko?
No, but I did see him on Instagram. He posted something of him back on the training ground and doing some work up at Gainsborough Vale. He was doing some work there, but he was back on some grass. It might not be the grass that he was back on, but he was on some grass doing some work. I don't know if he's back on the grass yet. But he's definitely moving, passing the ball, rolling around with it.
Yeah.
Suggestion from Chris, if we can get the Wi-Fi sorted, Chris, flagship live from next Sunday. Stephen Scott Twine on loan in January.
He's not really played for Burnley. I know he's been injured, but I don't know whether that is.
I'm not even sure he's been in and around the squads, has he?
Stephen reckons Lee is ready for Tuesday, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah.
Are we keen to win in that competition, guys? I think we are, aren't we? Keep winning.
It's always nice to beat Portsmouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And
are you guys heading down for it? Joe is.
I'll be there, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't decided, possibly, yeah. Yeah. I think yeah,
give me a shout,
day,
Dave. Are we gonna? We need to kind of exercise the Colchester demons, don't we?
Oh yeah, perhaps we'll do that then. Perhaps we'll go and we'll try and get rid of that Colchester game, get that out of our system.
That voodoo, yeah, loving the grass. There you go. Oh, Seb does the grass stuff as well. It does tickle me anyway. So we will see what we do midweek shows. I say, keep a lookout for Tommy Miller. With Dave all being well,
his
that
Audi,
will happen.
His Audi TT.
There we go. There it is. Come
way A Lake.
We just need the phone to go off. We've had some real podcast sweep bingo tonight. It's been quality. Thank you, everyone who's joined us. We've had really quality numbers throughout. Really great engagement, as always, in the chat. So thank you so much for everyone for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, do give us a thumbs up. It nudges us up the algorithms, the recommendations, all that kind of nerdy stuff that is so important to us podcasters, our geeky podcasters. So thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who did a super chat as well. Really appreciate those. And thank you, Joe and Dave, for your insights as well. Cheers, Charlie. Romeo wants to go to Wembley. Paul's, thank you for Paul. So we will wait and see what happens midweek, but another exciting week ahead. So we'll hopefully plenty of stuff to talk about next weekend. Until then, thank you guys. Come on, England tomorrow, I guess.
Absolutely.
Two cup progresses in the next week would be nice, wouldn't it?
That'd be good. There we go.
FA Cup third round and Papa John's, whatever we are after
that. Norwich at home.
Man City away.
When was the last time we were in the third round?
Well, was that, sorry? When we got relegated, wasn't it?
Was it 89? We haven't been in the third round since we've been down.
No.
There you go. There's something to aim for. There's a high to aim for. Joe, you can say goodbye.
Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Say goodbye.
Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. See you soon.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.